What's up, everybody? Before you get to your podcast episode, here's what's coming up on the latest Move the Sticks podcast here, DJ and Bucky.
We're going to break down every NFL game, got top questions, and then we're also going to look to the college slate to see who can come up with the right picks, make sure I get back to the league.
Yeah, college football, NFL football, we've got you covered on Move the Sticks. Download on iTunes as well as NFL.com/podcast. Check out our videos on YouTube.
NFL 2016 is upon us. Let's get into it. We'll have time for pleasantries in a moment. But now, the hurry up. Josh Norman and company, more accurately, got whipped by the best wide receiver on the face of the earth, Antonio Brown. On Monday night, can Josh Norman and company bounce back? Before we get to that with Handsome Hank and Matt Money Smith, let's hear what Ike Taylor had to say about it on our most recent podcast.
I see Braylon over there, man. Braylon having a day.
Oh.
You know, he having a rough one. And I've been there before. It's been a few games where I had a rough one. Not a lot. You know, out of my 139 games, I probably had six of them days, which is a good ratio. So I'm cool with that. But if I'm getting paid $70-something million and I consider myself to be one of the top corners, you know what, Braylon? I got you. I'm going to go in the halftime and tell Coach, hey, Coach, my homeboy over there having a day, man. Put me on AB.
First of all, Ike almost got stuck in the rabbit hole of his own career. But, yes. But then he emerged.
139 games, maybe six of them. You could see he thought about delivering the math on it.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm okay with that ratio.
Exactly. But, just threw the ratio out.
But either way, I thought it was an interesting point that actually a high-end DB like this has the option. I didn't know this was true. You can go in the locker room at halftime and say, hey, right, coach, yeah, give me this guy. Do you think that's the right thing for Josh Norman to do? Should he do the so-called traveling if he is being paid this amount of money? I don't think it's a small thing.
No,
right?
It's a fair point. Here's why he did the right thing. Because Antonio Brown does not give a damn who you are or how much you are being paid. He will wreck you. And he has proven that over the last 3 years that he is, as you said, the best wide receiver in the game. You can make a very compelling case. He is the best player in football right now because it does not matter if you're Aqib Talib. It doesn't matter if you're Josh Norman, if you're Patrick Peterson. You will be humiliated. Not just embarrassed, but humiliated by Antonio Brown if you dare try to cover him single coverage. And that's why they didn't put Norman on him in the first place, because they were trying to roll double coverage and bracket him, and it just didn't work. D'Angelo Hall's a new safety. Like, what? I screwed it up again. My bad.
I guess that is the Patriots method now that's really emerged over the last couple of years, is putting your top corner on the number two receiver.
Yep. Right.
And then doubling up.
It's the Kobe approach.
Yeah, right. It didn't work on 84. Handsome, do you think that it will work on 88 this weekend in our nation's capital?
No, my thought is that if Josh Norman doesn't like being in the news this week for sort of being questioned about things, then it may not work for him to be single on Dez this weekend as well. Dez didn't actually have a great game, although Dak looked pretty good last weekend. Dez wasn't necessarily the main beneficiary of it, but I could definitely see him bouncing back against Josh Norman, and then next week this conversation being an even hotter topic.
You know, and just look at the photo here that we're framing. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about two big, strong athletes. You know, AB is strong, no question, but he's a technician.
Right.
I mean, he will just cut you to pieces, whereas Dez is more of a, I'm going to win the 50-50 balls, I'm going to win those physical matchups in the red zone, and that is something that Josh Norman is a little, you know, you saw the one time he covered Brown, what did he do? He used his muscle to poke that ball out. Should have been a fumble, maybe at least an incompletion. It was a positive play. So that matchup probably is more favorable to Norman, and you should see the coaches, you know, put him into that position maybe a little bit more, especially in the red zone.
Next, this leads us nicely in, perhaps.
Like no follow-up there.
Skins.
Like I just wasted time.
Not at all. I'm moving on because this is the hurry-up, Matt Money Smith. It's the hurry-up. Handsome Hank.
Am I Terrence Williams? I didn't get out of bounds.
Oh, stop it, you. Now, listen, you do look great in your App State.
You really do.
Yeah, supporting our colleague.
There. Yeah.
Supporting our
Daniel Jeremiah going into a big one.
Let me just say it. Just quickly. Whoever administrator decided to schedule the Miami Hurricanes as a road game going to Appalachian State, one of the fiercest, now they're in the Sun Bowl, so they're FBS, but one of the fiercest FCS competitors you could ever schedule to come to your place, and Miami's going there to take on the Mountaineers. Oh, good God, look out. It is so exciting.
Matt Money Smith, one of the foremost college football talkers on the face of the earth.
We're
going to try to carve out some time for that if time allows. Meantime, Handsome, Sunday's action or Monday's action. What game are you most – you can only watch one NFL game.
There is only one.
Which is it?
The Steelers-Bengals game. I mean, I still love that game from how many months ago. Of course that's the one.
Yeah, weird.
How could you choose anything else?
Time. Yeah. I didn't know which direction you'd go here. Matt Money Smith.
Just a plug, and I'd like to tap my own credentials because I'll be calling a college football game this weekend, Stanford versus USC.
Ooh la la.
I have a flight that will preclude me from watching any of the early tilts. So my must-watch game, because it's the only games that are available to me, will be the Monday Nighter between arguably the two greatest football fight songs, and there are not a lot of them in the NFL, but Fly Eagles Fly versus Bear Down. I mean, just to hear those two songs played at some point during that
game.
We
did it last year. We do need to do a proper update of the best songs related to football, whether they're pregame show songs or fight songs, college or the NFL ones, which, as Money rightly points out, there's a dearth of. What are there, six or seven? The Chargers have San Diego
Superchargers. San Diego
Chargers.
You got to get to the falsetto.
I don't think you can get the Dolphins stole the Houston Oilers one.
Right.
I don't think you can.
Houston, and you have a Hail to the Redskins. So you have that. And then
I don't think you got the tune right there. It's Hail to the Redskins, right? Isn't that it?
Hail victory.
That's right.
Braves on the warpath. Yeah, that's right.
I think ESPN executives are over the moon that Doug Peterson decided to go Carson Wentz. If he hadn't,
week two,
what a Monday night stinker.
Right.
Bears and Eagles.
Bradford.
That went out the way.
Wentz saves it. Of course,
Cutler.
The correct choice. The only choice is the perfect bowl here.
Huh?
The greatest moment in my fandom's history, save perhaps, I guess, the Super Bowl victories. But Vontaze Burfict running
so
out of them. And, in fact, MVP behind the glass. I'll thank you to just run this endlessly throughout the show today. Whenever we're lacking for a little piece of video, we encourage you to demand. We appreciate you joining us in the audio on iTunes, Stitcher, and otherwise. If you want to consume it in video, go to NFL.com/podcast. Or we stream every Tuesday and Thursday on NFL Now. NFL.com/now is how you track that down. What time does that run every Tuesday and Thursday? Track it down. It's middle of the week. This is the hurry up, after all. One more thing I wanted to share with you before we jump into the show proper, fellas. My kids now love, they have a notebook, and they keep little riddles, like, you know, Laffy Taffy style riddles or little jokes. And I came up with a dandy. I thought
you wrote this.
I'm ready.
I came up with this.
You are a comedy writer.
Yeah,
off the cuff, I was over the moon, and I, you know, dad jokes. We're all dads.
Sure.
What do we have combined? We have, like, 4 through 7. We have not. We have 10 kids. We have 10 total children.
10 kids between
amongst ourselves here. Dad jokes.
We should
draft. We even have a graphic.
Do drafts. We should draft our kids.
Not a bad idea.
Fun.
By the way, 10 kids by 6 women, right? Is that what it is for them?
Maybe more.
7.
Scoundrels. The joke I came up with is, and they were delighted by it.
We'll see.
What's it called when your butt makes a mistake?
I don't know.
What is it called when your butt makes a mistake, Dad?
Asphalt.
That is good, actually.
That's a good one.
How about that?
That's very good.
Man.
I don't care if that's not already out there. Don't give me your patronizing laughter behind the glass.
On the road.
They loved it.
Yeah.
How old's your youngest?
Youngest.
Well, no, I mean that you told the joke to.
7.
Okay, so you're comfortable saying ass to a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
That's maybe where you get into the conundrum, right?
Yeah, maybe bad parenting.
Because if they don't know the word ass, they're like, I don't get it.
That?
You're like, well, you know, another word for butt is ass.
Yeah.
Now
they're in school.
Let's go get some of that squeezable applesauce. All right.
Anyone else want to float one today, or should I give you 7 days to try it?
Putting us on the spot.
I'd like you to not come up with a classic. Rather, I'd like you to pen one out. That's
okay. I got accused of a dad joke. I didn't think it was a dad joke. The other day, the 49ers posted a tweet about how on the roof of Levi's Stadium, they now have a – they've got a garden, so they're organically growing
right. a lot of the herbs,
herb crops that would then be fed in the stadium. I replied to the tweet and said it was genetically modified food because it's Levi's Stadium. People tweeted back at me and said that's a dad joke, but it's just a bad joke.
It was punny.
Dad joke. Yeah, it's a pun.
And it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Did you catch that money too? The little English v American.
Yes. Herb.
Herb.
What?
Herb. Well, it begins with an H.
Herb.
I mean, herb.
It genuinely herb. Begins with an
yes.
H.
Yes.
It's difficult for you
they're,
guys.
They're
to
growing
explain.
Gentlemen by the name of Herbs in there.
I pronounce it this way. Week two's here. A dandy collection of games. Let's start the show. Hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented, as always, by McDonald's. Go get you that McPick 2 for $5. You get to pick from a delicious array of items, money previously rightly identified.
Nuggets, triple cheese.
That's correct.
Mm. I think. See, that's I don't. Right do
you know what, though?
I don't do that.
It's interesting because there's a lot of things. Listen, we can do this. You can't do this, all right? Thinking on the spot and just responding on the fly, you got to have your wits about you. I was thinking about it. I said, you know, I wonder if I was being honest. I wonder if that wasn't just an in-the-moment answer right. to the question. Because I do think, now with the all-day breakfast, I think there's a chance there's a McMuffin in there. There's a sausage. There's maybe a sausage McMuffin in there. It's just so hard to decline right. that opportunity because it was kept from us as a man who was 43 years of age for so long to now have that available. I think just knee-jerk, I'm always going to go for the breakfast food in the afternoon because I now can. Because I now have that
luxury.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right?
Yes. Yes. These are glorious days
yeah,
in which
are.
We live. And back in the fold now, the world traveler, the resident Miami Dolphins fan of the DDFP. Let's check in with him about the state of his Dolphins. It's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you, first of all?
I'm very well indeed, thank you.
And next, boy,
oh,
tough one
good.
For your guys on in the opening
yeah.
week. They just about knocked off the Seattle Seahawks
they just about did.
Seattle, and Kenny Stills dropped an easy touchdown pass.
And there were more mistakes than that. They missed a field goal. They went for it on fourth and one and didn't get it when they could have kicked a field goal. They're chasing points before they needed to be chasing points. I think they played all right. And they weren't. A new head coach had a bit of a new head coaching experience.
The most important question to ask is when Ryan Tannehill scored that touchdown and you go up with 2 minutes to play, as a Dolphins fan, do you believe victory is yours? Or are you accepting
that this is not going to end well and Russell Wilson will end the way that it ended.
That's the best thing.
They weren't going to win the game.
That's what makes fans
even
of
at
a
that
team
point.
Great.
Well, viewers, whether you were rooting for the Seahawks or the Dolphins, everybody losers who set their eyes on that one.
It was not a good
game.
It was
a very ugly looking, well, I mean the uniform.
Okay, oh, yes, yeah,
those
yeah.
aqua pants against yeah. that uniform of Seattle's, yeah. not a good yeah,
that,
mix there.
That odd shade of blue. What is this?
What is nice, though, is the Yankees have a yeah. new slugger on their ball club. Dan Hanzus of Around the NFL, I believe, was the first
well
to recognize
done.
This. Look at the doppelganger.
Well, hold on a second.
Uncanny.
I was actually in
That's
New
crazy.
York. I was in New York for 2 days this week. So more than that, I want maybe DNA or genetic proof that that wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's the, you're not sure yourself?
I'm not positive.
It's the proper amount of curl.
I don't remember what I was doing.
Very, very pronounced and bold yeah. eyebrows. Because you have the headphones on, we can't see if you have the same weird kind of shaped ears. Let's see.
Headphones.
No, your ears are much more regular.
Yeah.
I
also sweat a lot, so that could
yeah.
be me.
Wow, that
well
is,
done, Hanzus.
That really is crazy. Again, NFL.com.
Well done,
I can't remember.
Podcasts.
They told me his name. His name, I think, is Ryan someone.
I forget.
He won a game. He won a game.
I'm off baseball
Yankees.
Season.
Yeah, yeah.
Football's here now. Next up, Matt Money Smith, of
oh,
course.
No.
The host of the Petros and Money Show, the best sports radio show
far too.
In all the land. Track it down on iHeartRadio. But, yeah, you know, the thing with Matt Money Smith is those oddly skinny legs he's got
president.
On
him. Why are they all
not just the member, but the president of the skinny legs. The Minute Bowl, huh?
The Minute Bowl Skinny
yeah.
Legs Club.
He's got nothing on me. Manute's got nothing. And notice what I wear, by the way, just because I recognize I got to get the socks. Even though I'm in shorts, I'm still wearing socks up to my calves because when you get down to the ankles, it really is the size of about a 16-year-old girl's wrist. So I cover up that portion as
Matt
best
Money
as possible.
Smith, what do you I forget I was going to just ask you. You got the hipster. Oh, the hipster socks made me remember
yes.
this. If we were to create a theme song for you, I think I said hardcore might be the way. You're a dead guy. Yep. You're an indie music guy that used to
got
be
them all.
Your line of work. What would you be? What would you fancy, Matt Money Smith?
Boy, it would. You can't do both. You know, you're either going Grateful Dead, you know, style, you know, or I think hardcore is probably more right. I mean, that was kind of my formative years, seventh grade through like sophomore, junior year in high school. It was really the drugs that got me into the Dead, you know, just if we're being honest right now in an honest moment. But it'd be hardcore. It would be like you know,
that's
like a Fugazi Naked Ray Gun style hardcore thing.
We have our marching orders. We shall proceed from
we
there. Not bad
that.
Brains, eh?
Love
and
bad
then
brains.
Lastly, Dan Le Batard, Amin El-Hassan, the NBA guy,
okay.
somehow pulled a pic from the DDFP of me and referred to me as Evil Le Batard. Because I look like I
with
was
the beard,
something yeah. or other. But anyway, here's the one that I hear all the time, mostly from the ladies out there. Damn, Ashek, I know I don't look like Marlon Brando, but a lot of women say I'm imbued with the same
right.
untamed essence
right.
of streetcar era Brando.
That's
you guys
an animal
that?
Magnetism.
Yeah,
yeah,
like that. You don't
yeah.
know what's going to be,
yeah.
you know? But that's what's exciting about
right.
him.
Hmm. Right. No, I
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, I'm still working on it yeah. here.
All right, let's move on. Yeah. The games are just about here. I want real quick in today's Shecky Spotlight, we're going to look at five
like
ideas,
that.
And let's take a look and see about how we all feel about some of these Color Rush uniforms. You've seen them. You can track them down at NFL.com. Let's start off with the one that, I mean, biased or otherwise, I think is the best one of the lot or in the top two or three of
oh,
the
lot.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Handsome Hank.
Love it.
How do you like the all-black Steelers? Not a stitch of white on the uniform
I love it.
Either. All black and gold. And
blackout.
I'd love to crap all over it just to upset you, but I can't.
All right. Let's.
It's fantastic.
Final verdict is it's a winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Yep.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, look at that. What's this? Is that you, Dave?
Say it's an emoji. It's
no.
Great.
You know what? That's like that looks like a young Marlon Brando.
Yeah,
it's like
it does.
Evil Lebatard.
Right.
Next up, the Miami Dolphins, Handsome Hank's favorite football collective.
Oof.
I'm going to start with you on this, Handsome. White hat, the usual white hat, orange jersey, orange pants.
It looks like Don Shula and Paul Brown got together, maybe had one too many drinks, and had a football team that will go down as the worst in NFL history. I'm calling them the Drowns. I think that's this team.
I like
I do
that.
Not like it.
That's
at
very
all.
That's punny. You don't have
like
the dad jokes,
Thank
but you got the puns.
Thanks,
I mean, that's very punny.
I don't
like
that's
it at
a
all.
Dad joke at all. I like that one. That's
Thank
a winner.
You very much, Dave.
You know, when you have teal at your disposal,
right?
You know, when you can harken back to a decade like the '90s, the early '90s, late '80s, with a simple color and bring up that sort of nostalgia for so many football fans, and you choose to go orange instead. What are you thinking?
The hat doesn't even match the
no,
rest
it
of
it. Doesn't it? Doesn't work.
No. These are bad.
Terrible.
Rejected.
Yeah.
The Dolphins. These might be the worst Ooh, of the lot.
There it is.
Now, next up, the Giants. Let's take a look at the Giants real quick here. These I like a lot. And, in fact, the team they share their stadium with, the Jets, would do well to go back to their 80s hats once in a while, the green hats.
I like the 80s. I like the hats.
That's the key is we can't see it here.
Yeah, it's that they wore
it's the Giants script.
The Lawrence, I almost called him LaDainian Tomlinson,
oh,
but the first LT, Lawrence Taylor, the Giants.
Big block.
Yeah,
I like
big block. That's what they are, basically.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a like there. And let's, two more real quick. The Redskins, I don't know if you've gotten a load of these, but they are all mustard gold. With the
hail to the Redskins,
I'm hailing this.
Yeah,
those are these are in the competition for the worst.
Yeah, they're up there. They're not as bad as
no,
Miami's,
I think I.
It's not a terribly pleasant look.
Here's the thing, you can't.
Dave doesn't like.
I don't think you can do, you know, that deep cardinal, that maroon. You can't do that as a full uni. So I don't know what their options are. You know, I think it's either that gold or it's that deep red, and I think that deep red would be worse. That's the problem. You're limited with your two-color scheme.
It's not a bad point you make. Yeah, you know what? Gold jersey, burgundy pants.
But that's not color rushing.
No, color rushes, they're the color same. Rush is that's all, like the whole is deal. All is it's all the deal. Same. That's what I'm saying.
I have noticed that from all the others.
I didn't. I was. And lastly, this is the one because I'm open-minded. I'm not going to render a final verdict. The Seattle Seahawks with that neon green that
it's
they like
terrible.
So much.
It's horribly, awfully terrible.
You don't like
you know
no.
when you got the four-pack when you were a kid, you got the four-pack of highlighters to take to school? That would be the one that I would be like, I don't need the pink one or the green
here's
one.
Here's what I would
that
say.
One back.
You know when, but here's the thing about those highlighters, right? You'd get it, and you'd start highlighting something on your paper, like, and it looked great, and the next thing you know, you start coloring, and you get this big block.
Everything is
and now great. Everything's wet, and it's like a terrible color. You're like, oh, this isn't nearly as great as I thought it was because I've used too much of
and
it.
That's that.
Right there.
Great point. That's a great point. And as a side note, when it gets that, when it gets the page kind of
it wrinkles
damp like that.
It
wrinkles up. And then
you better
you
turn that page
your...
carefully or it's going to rip. Right.
Exactly.
You're right. Maybe that's what's going to happen to the Seahawks. When
what happened to you? Why did you not? The best of them all is the Chargers. That beautiful royal blue.
I don't like, hats with that. But, yeah, it's a good look. It's very Founcy. But now we're back to our viewers. They can see we have perfect running off the field
the
with a minute
storm.
And a half left in the playoff game. A game that the Bengals would ultimately lose. This is my
favorite. But it's not like it was because of that guy that they would. Oh.
All right. We're about to jump into the Red Challenge flag picks for the NFL. But money, like I mentioned, one of the great college football talkers out there. Right now, I like to evaluate this week to week.
Okay.
Give me your final four.
Final four?
That's right.
All right. Boy.
I would have Bama.
I got to figure out who's going to win the SEC. So Bama, because obviously an SEC champ is going. I'll take Clemson. I think they'll end up getting back there to rep the ACC. Is Ohio State
you
or
think
Michigan?
So? You think Clemson gets through it clean?
I do. I do. I think I'll be anxious to see what Florida State does against Louisville.
Me too.
And see how that plays out. And that may lead me to change things.
And Lamar Jackson, if he can come through with, say, three touchdowns two, three touchdowns, he stays in the Heisman race. He's an interesting – he's the early front runner from Louisville. There.
That means if I have
– touchdowns.
If I have the ACC and I have – the Big 12 is not going to get somebody there. They're out. So that'll be the Power 5 conference that gets left out. So that means – do I say the Pac-12 champ goes and the Big Ten champ goes? I got to figure out how to get Houston in there. That's what I've got to figure out how to do because Greg Ward's going to be a Heisman candidate all season long. Tom Herman is the hottest coaching name beyond Harbaugh and Saban right now, and they beat down Oklahoma. If they beat down Louisville at the end of the season, let's say Louisville wins that game against Florida State and then Houston humiliates them and Greg Ward is like second or maybe wins the damn Heisman Trophy – I want him in the playoff. I want Herman in that playoff with a month to plan or a couple weeks to plan and give it that shot. But it's really hard to make.
What you want is, to that point, I think Houston has the path will be legitimate and perfectly realistic so long as Louisville does not get housed this weekend.
Right.
Louisville appears legitimate.
That's what I'm saying. They beat Florida State and then Houston. So
even if they don't beat them, as long as they're not humiliated and exposed.
And, of course, I'm not a Stanford apologist, but I love Christian McCaffrey so much. I feel so strongly that the Heisman Trophy was just a straight theft from what he did last year. Nothing against Derrick Henry, nothing against Mark Ingram. It just so happened that the two of you are holding Heismans that belong to Stanford players, Toby Gerhart and Christian McCaffrey.
Stanford SC, the game to watch this weekend?
It's the game I'm calling. So selfishly, I'm going to say yes, but watching SC through two games and how porous that offensive line has been and how physical Stanford plays, I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I'll just leave it that way. I'm hopeful it'll be a close game.
Kent Brown, college football talker extraordinaire, pointed out to me, this is the first time in history that the top three teams, 1, 2, 3, are playing ranked teams on the road. In college football history, handsome. Any game that you're going to tune
about
in?
That?
I like watching. Last weekend, I went to a game. I went to see UCLA. I took my –
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
UCLA, UNLV. You got to see old Johnny Stanton out there slinging it around?
Yeah, he was good. Josh Rosen is a little overrated. Everyone, his receivers.
Well, you think you're going to see Troy Aikman when you go out there.
And that's not the case yet. Yeah. Maybe a year away. But
he's good, but yeah.
I'll just watch whatever's on.
All right, let's get to it. We've waited long enough. Let's get to this week's Red Challenge flag picks. Red Challenge flag picks.
Woo!
Woo! I like the little.
Right? We need a little lick at the end of that, don't we?
I dig it. Let's start off with Perfect Bowl. No Vontaze Burfict out there. No Le'Veon Bell. No Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant, of course, made the crazy catch in that playoff game. Vontaze Burfict hurt two more Steelers in that playoff game. So those guys won't be there. But plenty of star power out there on both sides in Heinz Field. AFC North, I don't think you call this a rivalry. Lindsay Rhodes of Total Access said to me yesterday that she feels that this is maybe the best rivalry in the NFL. And I said, well, don't both sides have to win meaningful games for it to count as a rivalry? When do the Bengals ever beat?
I mean, that's how rivalries start. It's okay. a blossoming rivalry.
I think the Bengals not a traditional are who the division bully is, though.
Right.
I
mean,
Raiders-Steelers, now that's a rivalry.
Yes.
You know? Even if it's been lopsided for a couple decades now, or at least a decade and a half. But
Ravens, now they listen.
Yeah, but there was a time where you would say Ravens, Steelers, you know, thinking back, that was maybe the blossoming of that.
That's
rivalry.
Why I went the Raiders.
Maybe that rivalry's over.
Hey, Cincy, get back to me when you beat Pittsburgh in a meaningful spot, and then we'll talk about how you're.
Could have been last year.
I don't think week two counts as
if they win this game. That's not meaningful
enough. All right. Handsome, you know what? In the spirit of where you're going here, let's start with you. Bengals, Steelers.
Hey, Money, do you want some of these?
Yeah, please.
Have some red flags. Dave, I'm picking the Steelers to beat the Bengals this week. Why are you giving them back?
No, because I had a bunch. I'm not planning. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. At Money Smith.
Yeah, I'm with him.
You're going to agree. You're
Steelers,
not going to throw the red flag on that. That makes me uncomfortable.
I'm not. I thought about it because, look, A.J. Green was fantastic last week against Darrell Revis. Now, our own Heath Evans on Fantasy Live pointed out, if you can protect your quarterback, Darrell Revis can be beat deep, that his speed has left him in his advanced age, and someone like A.J. Green was capable of doing that. And A.J., as you well know, as a Steeler fan, has always made life hard on the Steelers. For whatever reason, it's just one of the matchups that he tends to play very well, and I hate doing that because teams change every year, and clearly it's a different Bengals team without Hugh Jackson calling the plays. So I was tempted, but I do believe the Steelers are one of the best teams in football this year, and I'm just going to keep riding Antonio Brown.
Hey, I don't want to sound like a jock sniffer here, but our guy Ike Taylor did have a knack of taking away AJ
Green.
He really would do a great job on 18 there,
jock
but
sniffer.
Yes, you're right.
Ike will be here, though, so that doesn't help.
That's correct. I do like what they've sort of cobbled together there on the back end of the Pittsburgh defense. They do seem to have some talented pieces rolling through.
But I think it's going to be close.
Maybe
it's another one to put in the bank and say the Steelers and Bengals have a rivalry.
Ben Roethlisberger has oddly struggled in Heinz Field against the Bengals. That's something to look for.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though, Money. Those trends that cross over a decade.
Right.
That's one of my old man's.
And nine matchups against the Vikings. Okay, great. What were the Vikings four and a half years ago?
My old man does this because he's informed by 70 years of Red Sox baseball, and he's still playing. Both Sox just can't win in Baltimore. That's just how they are. I don't think who played in 1961 has any relevance on here and now. But anyway. I'm going to go with the Steelers here. I think that's the pick.
Clean sweep.
Because that's not normally your thing. So you must be confident.
In fact, I think the Steelers need to take this one because without Vontaze Burfict, aside from that he legitimately did take out their three best pieces
a year ago,
Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger, he knocked them all out of games last year. He's not going to be on the field.
It's impressive.
And the defense is legitimately better in Cincy when he's on the field. Also, Tyler Eifert has been a factor against the Steelers in some games.
Not going to be there.
He's not going to be out there. So I'll go with Pittsburgh against my better judgment. Next up, Matt Money Smith, Cowboys in our nation's capital.
This was a tough one. Cowboys.
Handsome Hank, how say you?
I am not going to throw a Redskins-colored flag at Money because I also think the Cowboys win. I was surprised. Like, everyone expected that Zeke was going to be the guy that made the most impact as a rookie, and we all know that running back is probably the easiest position to come in and just carry off where you played in college. He might be the fourth best running back on the field in their game against the Giants. Dak came in and just looked great. Outside of the fact he couldn't get the ball to Dez particularly effectively, but he looked great. I think the Cowboys win this. And on the other hand, the Redskins look pretty terrible against your Steelers.
Well, I think that what you saw specifically there was with ended the game if there was any shot of them getting in there is D'Angelo right. Williams in the yeah, second yeah. half. What do you think Zeke Elliott and that offensive yep. line is going to be able to do?
So that's maybe Maybe he will get going.
It's almost weird in hindsight what happened with Pot Roast Knighton. How could DC allow him to walk away given what they don't have yeah. on the
– Where
on
did
the,
he – he hasn't ended up anywhere.
No.
No. So, well. I mean, maybe,
so maybe they bring him back again. Normally, maybe,
well, they just brought in Colin Jenkins to see what he can do, but obviously he was out on the street right. too. I could see Zeke having a good day, but I do think Cousins returns to 2015 form a little bit against that mm-hmm. bad Cowboys
Terrible.
Defense. Week one, it was interesting that the Giants sort of helped them out. The Cowboys, in the short term at least, are going to want to take the air out of the ball, and the Giants seem to play right. that same brand. I think the Redskins will try to shoot it out a little bit there. I think this will be a fun one. These games usually are. I'm going Redskins, as a matter
okay.
of fact. Next
Here we
up,
go.
Throw a flag at both of us.
Throw it at money, please, for me. Next up, Dolphins at the Patriots. Garoppolo, 1-0 now. The fact that the kid was nails didn't surprise me.
Huge third down throws.
But, I mean, just, you know, I said it to Ike and Maurice earlier in the week, but maybe Belichick's genius is just simplicity. Maybe that's the takeaway. How did Garoppolo have a day against that great defense?
And it wasn't a defense that played badly.
No.
You know, the defense played fine.
That's it. Oh, they have a big pass rush against our bad offensive line. Get
that
the ball out of his hands.
That was just a blown coverage there. Mm-hmm. Took advantage of the one crucial mistake the Cardinals made in that touchdown pass to Hogan there. And that's, you know, what is Belichick does what? Takes away whatever the opposing team likes to do best. And that was the deep ball. John Brown was non-existent. There were none of those huge plays that the Cardinals love to put up. And he, like you said, he just keeps it simple. There's a lot of underneath routes. You'll find a busted coverage here or there, and we'll capitalize on it and win a game by 4 points.
I mean, one day this mystery is going to be solved, and maybe it's just sitting right in front of us.
It's
that
just
everything...
football. How hard can it be, right?
Don't let the right. – yeah, don't – oh, Carson Palmer wants to go deep to those guys? Well, then just don't let him do that.
Don't let him do it.
Right. Take that away. All right, Matt Money Smith.
Patriots.
The only time
come on, Hans.
No, I mean, I'd love to, but the only time I'm ever going to pick against the Patriots is if they are on the road against a very good team. The Dolphins are going to New England, and they're not a very good team.
So there's that.
Well, I mean, you're turning into a little bit of a cynic now, Hans.
What do you mean?
Where's your support for your team?
I think they're in like a rebuild mode for the 16th year in a row, and I don't.
Well, see, that's snarky. That comment.
A little bit. Well, a little bit.
You have Adam Gase. You were competitive with an NFC juggernaut.
It didn't surprise
you are not
me. It
happy
didn't surprise
right
me
now.
That they were.
I'm going to do the morning show thing right now and just take a sip of water on camera. do what they do on the morning show.
It didn't surprise me that they were competitive with the Seahawks because Seattle doesn't start very fast. But, you know, Belichick's got a plan for this. They'll win.
I like that Adam Gase.
What about the –
I
me mean, too.
I do like
the
that.
Players
Adam.
Like,
I think, he's going to get it right.
I think it's going to be fine, but it's not going to be fine week two of his head coaching career in New England.
It's not that simple, though. I mean, because that's a great defensive front, you know, and I know we said that about Arizona and Calais Campbell right. and Chandler but, Jones and Deion Buchanan and Patrick Peters. You just wonder if someone that can be so disruptive like Ndamukong Suh that can just destroy the center of a line and force your game plan to go away, and now you have to roll one way or another.
But they are missing the Dolphins. That front four, I agree with you, it's yeah. good. They're already two men down from their starting yeah. unit. Earl Mitchell's out for the week. Mario Williams was concussed and hasn't practiced yet this week.
It's a bit of a problem.
I mean, Cam Wake is a great guy to be yeah. bringing in as a backup for Mario Williams, but I'm, you know, I think you've got to have your.
I'm just trying to make it somewhat compelling because when we all agree, it stinks.
A rudimentary critique for or going into this game suggestion: why wouldn't the Dolphins DBs be jumping routes? Obviously, Garoppolo, informed by last week, is just going to be getting the ball out of his hand as quickly as possible. It seems like that should be an opportunity for the Dolphins DBs.
You know why?
But the problem is their secondary is the weakest.
Pump and go. That's what. Gotta jump that rut, and it's a pump and go.
Pump and go.
MVP. You want to hail Matt Money Smith for his savvy prediction a week ago?
I think so. Yeah.
Which one?
On the money. Money was on the money.
What'd I do?
What'd you do?
You picked a pass last week. Let's see.
Oh, let's see. Look, I love Bruce Arians, or as all the NFL people call him, hey, man, B.A.'s one of the best guys. B.A.'s it.
And he is.
B.A.
But you're telling me I get a whole off season. And Bill Belichick to figure out how he wants to pressure Carson Palmer, who, when pressured, can get a little loose with things, and he's got tremendous defensive personnel to do the things he wants to do to make Carson Palmer uncomfortable with. Yes, it's Jimmy Garoppolo instead of, as all of his former teammates call him, Tommy Boy. But Jimmy's going to be fine. They have plenty of options between Edelman and Gronk, the biggest mismatch in all
Didn't
of
play.
Football, to win that game. And I'm just not picking against Bill when he's got an entire offseason to figure this thing out.
Mm. A little bit of circular talk there. I made the same point like four times. But
it
is hard to watch how weird-looking I am, I got to tell you. It really
my
is.
My head was enormous. Did you see how big
no,
my
your head was
in
enormous.
The background? I'm sorry about that, guys.
Kudos for the savvy pick
Thank
there,
you.
Matt Money Smith. Let's look ahead now, though.
Thanks for not showing my selection of the Jags, by the way, over the Packers.
That
Instead, you
bold.
Show the Patriots.
That was you being bold.
Yeah.
Next up, it's Handsome Hank. It's the Colts. It's the Broncos. Choose.
Dave, I'd like to pick the Broncos in the clash of the horses.
Matt Money Smith, I'll say you.
Can I change?
You can change. Yeah! Finally,
like
a little
you,
red in the streets.
Here's the thing. What is all this? What is all this complimentary discussion about Trevor Siemian? Oh, you know, he did not look good. I mean, the guy should have had three picks in that game. Yeah, I know C.J. Anderson played well, but historically, historically, if you just go back to last year, that offensive line was not great. I know the Colts' offensive line is not good, and that's going to be
that's
nightmare.
Going to be a big issue.
But guess what? Andrew Luck's pretty darn good. And the way I figure it is, if Siemian continues to look like he did, or is it Siemian? Did we figure this out?
I think it's – I'm pretty sure it's Siemian.
It is. Okay.
I think that's where he's going.
I was trying to remember because when he was at Northwestern, I almost remember looking at the player's guide, the depth chart, and going, really, that's how you pronounce it? So it
and
might
I
not be.
And I also have heard Siemian.
So, see what I mean? So I think maybe this is a Tate? Remember Michigan quarterback Tate Forcier, who then became Forcier and then was Forcier again? What I'm saying is this guy right here, Siemian, whatever you want to call him, there's going to be enough mistakes for Andrew Luck to capitalize on a short field. And you saw what he did last week. I mean, Jack Doyle, professional tight end, two touchdowns. Philip Dorsett was a monster in that game, big third down passes. I mean, he knows how to spread it around, so he can find the weak spot in that defense.
Has he got time to find the weak spot?
Probably not.
That might be the difference.
And he may take a number of hits in an effort.
He doesn't
deliver
really
that
mind
football,
that.
But
he doesn't really mind
no,
that.
No, he'll
never,
you know,
never
slap you on the rear and
much.
Say, way to go, Von
Great
Miller.
Hit there, Von Miller.
I agree with Money's assessment of Trevor Siemian, and I think the reason you're not hearing much about that, and I really do think this, the Broncos as a fan base have emerged as this chip on their shoulder group who beat you down, who will beat you down until you just agree and relent.
And you're just like, all right, I'm done with
fine.
You got it.
Yeah, he's great.
You got
all
it.
Right. He's
going
to go
you're
to
right.
the hall. You guys are the
That's
Super
a great
Bowl
point.
Favorite. You're just is that all right?
You've just
you guys
tired
better
of it.
If you don't get to the Super Bowl, then you failed because
great
you're
point.
So good. But fine. Here in reality, I just can't see any way to be confident in what the Colts have, and I feel bad. I'm starting to get to a point where I feel bad for Andrew Luck because of Ryan Grigson. I just don't – I mean, they've given him the ability – they've given him three similar guys who can –
T.Y., Dorsett. Right.
Game breakers and passing game and everything
Moncrief.
Else. But what about everything else?
Dwayne Allen's pretty darn good. It's the O-line. The O-line
the
is
O-line
terrible.
Is the problem.
It's terrible.
And that's the thing that Grigson – you know, has gone, has said about
spent
every
a boatload of money, drafted guys,
and they still haven't made it. I think if you look back, one of probably the worst decisions that will have been made when we get to midpoint of the season is that apparently amazing come to Jesus conversation that Jim Irsay had with Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson, where he, I think, intended to fire them both and then somehow was swayed by who knows what. And it was like, we're going to stick together and we're going to get through this. And I think they might well.
Come to regret it.
I said that at the time.
I did too.
Not 2020 hindsight.
It's a lovely
just
story.
Because it really is a nice story that the team, the players rallied. We want these guys. It doesn't make
doesn't
it
matter.
Right. It doesn't mean that that's the right move for winning football games. But, you know, it's not a coincidence, I would hypothesize, that Andrew Luck is in this spot. We don't need to properly address the offensive line. You look at guys like Russell Wilson has been perennially now the last few years behind crummy offensive lines.
Yeah.
Why? Because the because the management, what is the need? There's not an apparent need when your QB
can pirouette and
can get away from it. Yeah. Roethlisberger suffered from the same thing for years in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers, similar thing in Green
right.
Bay. You know, this is what happens, but the defense is terrible. Where's it all going? What is Gregson doing?
See, that's
at this
the thing
point?
Is, can they take advantage of that? Can Simeon take advantage? Because certainly Matthew Stafford can do that. I mean, I know we like to pile on Stafford, former number one pick, but man, he can sling it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
he can throw
right.
the
yeah,
ball.
He can.
So he can take advantage of that bad defense. I don't think Trevor Siemian can. So I guess that's kind of what I keep coming back to is, all right, I know Von Miller's great, and you know, just take your pick. Who do you want off that defense, you know, that's as your second best player? They're not as good as Andrew Luck. You know, so if I just kind of submit Andrew Luck's the best player in this game, the opposing quarterback's probably going to make a mistake, likely two, and I think Andrew Luck's going to take advantage of that, and that'll be the difference, is they just won't be able to keep up, that it'll be like a 24-17 game, and that should be enough to get it done.
The one thing, though, watching that game in Denver last week, Simeon, that, you know, against a good Panthers defense,
yeah.
the Broncos only asked him to do as much as he was capable of doing, and I get that he yeah. almost turned the ball over more times than he actually did, but against a Colts defense, which is going to give you more, I wouldn't be surprised if
it's
they
fair.
Expand what they let him do.
On some level, I hate game of inches talk and what if that had gone the other mm-hmm. way and so on and so forth, but the two of the bigger victories here, the narrative that we now have a week in on the Broncos is, look out, they're back. Well, they missed Gano
right,
missed a
yeah,
field
right.
goal.
That was not
nice.
And same thing
whatever
in Arizona happens. Are we still yeah. talking? Are we so sure that the Patriots are going to take care of business
right.
at home against the Ndamukong Suh and company
yes.
if a field goal goes through the uprights
yes.
instead of just beyond them? I'm going to take the Broncos at home.
Okay.
I think the Broncos will handle them just because that is a deep. I mean, that the Broncos are flawed, or at least it's a question mark at quarterback, but solid elsewhere. The Colts are solid at quarterback and flawed
Special.
Everywhere else, mm-hmm. outside right. of some nice pass catch.
Good football right. talk, guys. Good football talk.
I like that.
Very good.
There
we go.
Next up and lastly, Packers, Vikings, the debut of that new stadium that looks very much like the droid transport
yes.
that the Jawas
yes.
had.
Oh, good call.
On Tatooine.
Through the sand.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost identical.
But it does look nice, though. I
why
like the idea
why
of the
Jawas
natural life.
Come back? The Jawas were great. Right? The sand people. The I know they didn't make a return to Tatooine, but it was such a cool character
like
with
the
that
sand
robe, you know?
Festival.
Right?
Did
with
you
their
like
wacky
the
staff.
People.
I felt a little sorry for them. Because they were just trying to survive.
That's it.
That's all they were trying to do. They're not bad people. They're just looking for a way to survive in a sandy place.
They had their horned elephants
yes.
running.
Unplanned departure from prepared set. My apologies. But think about this. When we saw in this latest Star Wars film, what's the name of it? Force Awakens?
Yes.
Force Awakens. When we saw the Stormtrooper helmet come off, as someone who has now been on this planet for 4 decades plus, it was the first time that I came to the conclusion that there were human beings
right.
inside those Stormtrooper outfits. I assumed
never,
it was some
was
type of
they
robot,
were robotics,
right?
Especially because they were born out of the droid.
Right.
You know, the droid army. Then the upgrade was the Stormtrooper.
The Stormtrooper.
It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Like, it was
that
the first time
from,
that I thought that.
Right.
So, and then, wait, do you want to, because I have one more, because this
Please.
Is my follow-up.
I love that.
Do you like this?
It now leads me to the sand people where, oh, wait. Those aren't like these weird monsters. Those are human beings, and this is like some sort of mechanical contraption on their face that helps them breathe. And that's just
no,
that's
right.
I don't want that to be true.
But,
no,
but
that's what
I mean. Like that's
right.
that's where
one
it takes me. It's like,
other.
Oh wait a minute. No, yeah. these are all just human beings in
wait,
these weird outfits.
Java's aren't just teddy bears dressed. Humans dressed up as teddy bears.
They're little people.
They're just little people.
Yeah, it's just little people in fuzzy outfits.
Hold right. on a second. There's a lot to go through.
Yes.
First of all, I think you're wrong about the Tusken warriors, or what are they called? The Tusken.
Don't look in there. The
What's that? The sand people.
The sand. Tuscany is.
Tuscany.
Italy.
I have a computer. I'm
going to
pull up a photo of.
I'm not sure about that, but
what?
I can. In
what
the
you,
first
what
one,
asking?
Money. I remember as a child thinking, "Oh, those. I thought those were robots. The
stormtroopers.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
They were just
they
robots.
Were. They were the whole way through.
No, they were not though, because Han Solo in Luke Skywalker wear stormtrooper getups on the Death Star.
You can still get robots. Right. You can still put suits on robots.
Yeah, like still like that still never registered to me because you didn't see him pull it off of a human being.
Yeah,
like hell, Skywalker and Solo both rip off their stormtrooper.
But you don't see it come off of a stormtrooper.
They didn't get them.
Like another random human being that was inside of I just thought it was some sort of robotic outfit that they got into. See, like, I know this is going to be terrible for the viewers, but maybe for the listening audience. See what I mean? Now,
when you look at that, it looks
like it's a human being in like a contraption.
Like goggles.
Right, right. It's like binoculars, and that looks like some sort of breathing apparatus.
Wait a minute.
But then
Bad
why would you need that? Why would you need that? Because other people can
Again,
walk
I don't know.
There,
like, maybe if they live out in the sand, there's sandstorms and you can get choked or get, you know what I mean?
Worse than getting sand in your food.
Exactly.
You go to the beach, so maybe this helps.
I was watching one of the Star Wars the other day, and Han Solo says this, and it occurred to me, and then I saw it later in another movie. You know, modern day movie kind of thing. And this line appears in a ton of chase scenes, but I bet you it's never been uttered in the, if there's some nefarious figures following you, right. I bet no one has actually said if this is really happening, like, uh-oh, we've got company. But in movies, they say that every time.
All the time.
If you're being followed, guys, we got company. Who would ever do? You'd be like, oh, my God, I think those freaky people are like, well, look out. Who would do that?
Don't look now.
Yeah.
Sand people. They're people. And they're in.
They may have stumbled into something, pointedly.
Yes.
Delay a game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, that was.
My apologies.
No, we deserve.
My apologies.
We deserve that. All right.
You're the one that brought up the Jawa-mobile, though.
And I have to say it again. I know it's a snarky thing to say as they unveil this new stadium where Super Bowl 52 will be played, but you're in the NFC North. Say this is cutting your nose to spite your face. Should have kept the dome off
outside.
That thing. But so
beautiful. It's great.
Open the windows.
Matt Money Smith, Packers, Vikings, choose.
Packers.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Bradford might be starting or Sean Hill. Apparently, we're not going to – that exciting decision's being made on the day. It's not going to make the slightest bit of difference. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for 400 yards and outscore them by a lot of points.
Well, that's the one thing I don't necessarily buy.
It's a very good defense.
We've talked about that a lot.
It's a good defense, but if they have a weakness
– But not just a good defense, but as I've said many times – I think is built specifically to beat the Packers. I think the Vikings have drafted and signed guys specifically to take down the division bully.
You don't think Rick Spielman and Zim in that room were like, listen, we got to figure out how to stop the Bears. We have got to slow these Bears down.
They're sticking with Eddie Royal? Man.
All right, well, we need a nickel. That means we need a nickel back.
But Xavier Rhodes is down. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers again. I think this is potentially a special year.
Yeah. I like the hand gesture. Where you were going? You were going Bermany. You were about to go to Bermany.
Mm. Okay. Look, the NFC. Look, you got the Minnesota Vikings. You got the Chicago Bears. You got the Detroit. Look, there are a lot of teams in the NFC North.
There are,
but
Boomer.
The Green Bay Packers are the class of the division. This just in. Aaron Rodgers is the green and gold standard. Back on the blitz.
Short long punt. Thanks, Boomer. Appreciate that one.
It's the self interruptions. That's the Berman
key.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Big Ben Roethlisberger. There's Tom Brady. There's Russell. Look, there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers. I'm not in
midseason form. No.
The
keep working on that.
I was about to say it, and I should scrap the line, but I don't know what else I'm going to come up with. Hell hath no fury like a scorned Aaron Rodgers when he decides that. You have done him wrong, you know, like the Vikings did last year in winning the NFC North. And we always say it. Well, we don't always say it, but you hear football players say it. Well, you really can't play any harder. There's very little motivating that can be done to a football player to play the game harder because of how physical and nasty a sport that it is. So it really can't get any more intense than it already is. But for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers has that next level. And he's one of the only guys that you hear openly say, oh, yeah, I understand the rivalry of the Packers-Bears. Right. And when I go out there, I have absolutely zero mercy. It is my intention to beat them by 9 touchdowns because I know how important it is to our fan base, and I respect that. Very few people are like that, and you get the sense that that will be in the front of his mind for this game against the Vikings. He is out to humiliate them after being humiliated by them last year.
I completely agree with you. We make fun of all the time the entire football roster saying no one outside this locker room believes in us. Well, you're in the Super Bowl, man. Some people probably do. However, the really all-time greats from Jordan on down, he's always the guy that people cite, but it's true. Aaron Rodgers has the ability to perceive a chip, to put a chip on his shoulder for perceived slights or questions about him. Another guy who's like that is Ben Roethlisberger of late. He's starting to you can feel things in the last couple of years. He feels disrespected by the sport, that he's not listed in there. Those two guys are playing with a little bit of a chip.
And Tom Brady, too.
Tom Brady.
That's another one who,
say,
and,
that's
you know,
why when he gets back,
look
watch out.
Do you think for real, what if they're 3-1? Do they lose a game? I think this Patriots team might go
15-1.
This is one of those.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right.
And we'll look back at it and go, how did that roster –
Oh, yes. MVP points out we have to get to the rest of my picks very quickly.
All right.
Okay.
And we'll
very
get through
Let's
them
see.
Here. Week two. I didn't have a great first week. Only 9-7 with the spoiler.
Oh, by the way, Dave, we should get people to sign up. If they go to NFL.com/pick'em and then search for DDFP. I checked after last week. It is DDFP. I think we've got 370 around that. People
we should do much
play.
Better than that.
We should do better than that, so we should ask people to...
I'll tweet it out as soon as we're done here.
I'm coming 170th, which
but
I'm
I'll blow
proud
through
of.
Them real fast here. You can also see them at NFL.com, all my picks for the week. I'm going Panthers,
what are you doing?
Redskins, Steelers, Giants, Patriots, Texans. I have the Lions, the Ravens in a tight one over the Browns. I'm taking the Seahawks, although I think that one's a little bit closer, too.
Did you say Ravens in a tight one over the Browns?
That's what I said.
How about that?
That's what I said. Cardinals, I'll take the Jags on the road in San Diego, the Raiders at home against the Falcons. I'm taking the Broncos, like I say, taking the Packers, and I will take – who did I take in the Bears game? I took the Eagles, right?
No, you got the Bears
I got the
there.
Bears there at home. Yeah, tough spot for the kid. You know, I know lights and all under the lights, Monday Night Football.
Did you make a Thursday night pick? Did I miss that?
I didn't, but most people are listening post.
Well, could you tell us who you were expecting to win?
All right,
the game
I'll embarrass myself if I'm wrong, but I'll be very surprised if the Jets don't just win, but dominate. Did you see what that Jets defensive front did against the good Bengals offensive line? They should destroy.
Agreed.
They should destroy him, especially with Sammy Watkins.
How old Lenny lasted to pick six will be one of the great questions asked in many drafts to come. That they Leonard Williams drafting him. I think he was the sixth pick for inexplicably slipped in that draft. And the Jets were like, "You kidding me? Really? Another dominant
another
interior
one? Okay,
defensive
we'll
lineman?
Take him.
Bring him on in."
By the way, Sheldon Richardson not on the field in week one.
How about
that's what's really scary.
He may be the best of the bunch.
But it may end up being irrelevant by the time because the Jets have just a brutal slate. But if they get it to 1-1, maybe they can hang in there for a little while. All right. A pleasure to hang in Studio 66 with you, Handsome Hank, and Matt Money Smith.
Thank you for having
Thanks, everybody, behind the glass. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce after week two to tell you what happened there and to look forward to week three in the meantime. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Tuscan Warriors.